waiting for the Lord to say go and see what he does. So today I'd like us to continue in Luke's Gospel. We had an overview some weeks ago from Mike, and I want to continue today, start at Luke 17:20. And one of the things that I've tried to learn over the years is the gospel is simple. The word of God is simple. It's understandable for anybody. And there are times when I was a younger Christian that I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it because I was trying to find something that wasn't there. Surely it can't be this simple, Lord. Surely when you say repent and believe, there's more. Surely I have to do something. I have to give something, don't I? I have to give myself. And the gospel is simple. And as I read this portion of scripture, I actually did ring someone up a few days ago and I said, am I reading this correctly? Because whenever I read a portion of scripture, it may just be one small part, but I do quite a bit of research and I like to see what different translations say. I like to see what different commentaries say. I want to see what different scholars will say about the same passage. And I was overwhelmed when I read this portion of scripture of how many differences there were. Some of them, if we're in the center here, some of them was far over there. And some of them was far over there. And yet they all believed that they were preaching the truth. So what I want to say to you today is weigh up scripture for yourselves. Never take it from one source. Never take it from, if I say to you, this is what the Lord is saying through this word, then weigh it up with what God is saying through this word. Make sure it's truth. Not because I try to bring falsehood, but because we're human, aren't we? And we are not just to take what we see at face value unless we're reading scripture for ourselves and the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what I'm saying to you right now, right here. So I want to read it to you and then bring one or two thoughts. One of the things as I've gone from one portion of scripture to another portion of scripture, it's easy to say this is what the Lord is saying through that. But when you choose to do a verse by verse or a line by line, then you work with what comes next. And this is what comes next. In verse 20, it says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, the Pharisees, they were expecting when the kingdom comes, there's going to be a big parade. It's going to be pomp and ceremony. And when the king comes, he's going to come in all his splendor and he's going to be visible. And yet Jesus says to them, you're not going to be able to see it the way you expect to see it. And for us, if we look at this portion of scripture, for us as individuals, I'm sure before you became a Christian, you expected God to be made known to you in a certain way. I know for me, when I made that declaration, I had to get to a position where I simply believed by faith. Because I expected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to almost like the old lottery advert many years ago, a finger come out of the sky and go, it's you. Something would manifest in me. There'd be something that would instantly change. And I was looking for the outward sign of the inward change, just like these Pharisees possibly were expecting a king to come in all its splendor. Yet Jesus said something to them very profound. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. I represent the kingdom, in other words. But they couldn't see it. And there are times where people around us, as we share kingdom, as we share kingdom living, kingdom principles, as we share scripture relating to kingdom, they won't see it because they're expecting something different. Many people aren't expecting you. They're expecting someone else. They're expecting maybe someone that has more knowledge about the Bible than you and I do. Maybe they're expecting someone who has qualifications in this field. They're scholars Maybe they're not expecting the shepherds, the servants. But Jesus says, the kingdom is in your midst. And then he went on in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, so first he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were always there, not to encourage, but to actually trip up. They were always there to say, yeah, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? What about that? You can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're breaking the law, the tradition. They were always there. Jesus turns his attention to the disciples. And he says, a time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Son of Man meaning Jesus. Fully God yet fully human. Could identify with our weaknesses. Could identify with our strengths. When he was cut, he bled. Yet he had the power within him to not suffer the cross. But he chose because of his love for us. This is who we're talking about, the Son of Man. But you will not see it. You'll long to see me, but I'm going somewhere. And we know that scripture tells us, as his disciples today, that he goes to prepare a place for us. Yes? He goes to prepare a place for his people. But he also goes to prepare a place for those that have not yet chosen him. That's why the end is not come. Because he wants to bring salvation to the world. People will tell you, there he is, and here he is. Do not go running after them. Now I think this is an important portion of scripture for us. Because if we look back in history, we understand what a cult is. We understand what the Antichrist is, the Antichrist. But all of these cults have one thing in common. They have two things in common. One, they're evil. But two, they say that they are the answer to the question. They are the Messiah. Jesus has come in the person of. Jesus has come over here. The kingdom has come. I am amongst you, they will say. And what does Jesus say all these years ago to his disciples? And he reminds us today, do not go running after them. So the key here for us is when people tell you, there he is, or here he is, do not go running after them. Why? He goes on to tell us, for the Son of Man in his day, when that day comes, will be like lightning that flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples then, and he's saying it to us now, you'll know when I'm coming because you'll see me. So do I think that he's coming now? Well, I don't know. You see, the Bible tells us that we don't know the hour or the day. Is that true? But the Bible encourages us to be ready for when he does come. Is that true? So although it doesn't say it in this portion of scripture, as his disciples, we could ask, what should I do to get myself ready for when he does come? How will I know he's here? Well, you'll know he's here because you see him. How do you get yourself ready? By doing what he's called you to do. By learning more about him, by being sanctified, by being purified, by saying, Lord, I am so thankful. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I know, Lord, that I stumble and fall, but you pick me up. When we look through scripture and we read through the parable of the 10 virgins, the difference between the 5 foolish and the 5 wise were some had oil and some didn't. Some were ready and some weren't. Well, we need to be ready, don't we? That means we need to be expecting. But that means we need not to be fearful. But let's not run after anything other than what God calls us to run after. So, for us in this room and anyone who chooses to listen to this, it's a word in season because already we could start to translate the prophecies. There'll be wars and rumours of wars. And we see something breaking out in Ukraine against Russia and Ukraine. And we could be thinking, well, this is the last day. Well, it may be. But we've always had wars and we've always had rumours of wars. So what do? We pray, we become mindful, and we look to the Lord for our guidance. Yes, We are human. Yes, we will feel. Yes, we will be emotional. But we can do what God's called us to do, which is to pray, which is to serve, which is to be on guard, which is to be ready with our lamps full of oil. And if we want to use the oil as the Spirit of God, Lord, fill me. Fill me. And that's something that we can ask on a daily basis. But for this portion of Scripture, it says in 24, "For the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning that flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. We will know when he comes. But first, we must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." First, he must suffer. And that's talking about his death, isn't it? We understand, we can look back and say this portion of Scripture here was fulfilled. He suffered and he was rejected. But he's still suffering and still being rejected. And he's being rejected by a world that doesn't want to know who he is. But he's also being rejected by those that once loved him. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that when we deny Christ, when we know him, when we know of him, we say, "No, Lord, you are my Lord and Saviour," and then we choose to reject him, it says it's as if we are crucifying him all over again. So there are Christians, followers of Christ, who use his name that are crucifying him all over again. That's why when we read his word, we can be encouraged to be encouragers, knowing that we need to stay connected to the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. And as we stay connected to him, he knits us together. He feeds us so that when the day of evil comes, when, not if, we will be able to stand. And the reason why I bring it to us, that we will be able to stand, because if we stand, we can encourage others to stand. If we are blessed, we can bless others. If we know the truth, we can relay the truth to others. So if someone else who may be weaker in their faith says, "I believe God is moving in this way and he's coming tomorrow," you can say, "He might." But nobody knows the day or the hour because the Bible says so. He might come, but you don't need to go looking for him because he'll come looking for you. You will see him. So the truth of this portion of Scripture is still relevant for us today. Be wary of falsehood. Be wary of men and women who will say, "I am a representation of God. Jesus is in me and I speak for him." It's not the pastors, it's the false teachers. It's the false teachers that says, "Look to me and you will be saved." That's the difference between someone saying, "Look to him and you will be saved," and "Look to me." It happened in Jesus' day. The Pharisees tried to make him stumble and fall, but he knew what was in their minds. We need to know the heart of God by studying his word, reading his word, and enabling his word to speak to us in this day. Verse 26, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all." All of us, surely we know the story of Noah. And they weren't, the people around Noah's day, they weren't in sin in the sense that they weren't up to no good. They were just living life like people around us today. They were just living life, like many of our family, just living life, just oblivious to what's about to happen. But just as in his day is in our day, the word still goes out, doesn't it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the message is still going out the same as it was in Noah's day. And God has the same opportunity for them to repent as he does today for people to repent. So this portion of Scripture tells us that as in the day of Noah, so it will be in our day. In 28, it was the same in the days of Lot, when people were eating and drinking and buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. In 30 it says, it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. I've never liked this portion of scripture. It's quite scary. And for us, it's an encouragement to keep living the life God's called us to live. You see, you're a living sacrifice. You're a living signpost. You know, there's times, I'm sure, that we think, then I'm not doing enough, Lord, I could do more. Well, maybe we can. But when we call ourselves by the name and the reputation that Jesus gives us, children of God, then we represent something, don't we? We are heirs and co-heirs. We are ambassadors. We represent the King of Kings. We speak on his behalf here on earth. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. So if we speak with wisdom and discernment and love, but love isn't this Hollywood love. Love says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There'll be two. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two. One will be taken, one will be left. God doesn't want us on that day to look back at our lives and to see what we can gather and take with us. We don't need anything. Everything that you and I need, he's already provided for us. But this portion of scripture is a frightening portion of scripture, because it tells us that that day is coming, and that those that are just doing ordinary things, those that are just making breakfast, working in the field, those that are just getting married, those that are on holiday, those that are planning a vacation, those that are resting at home, on that day, like lightning from one end of the sky to the other, will be a suddenly. And for us as Christians, we have a privilege of being able to pray for God to soften the hearts of those that have not received him yet. We have a privilege of being able to say, Lord, I want to share the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Show me what to say and how to say it. Do you know that on a practical level, not everybody learns the same way? Not everybody understands the same way. You know, I've said enough times that I'm dyslexic, and I have to be told several times before I can really grasp something. It frustrates those that are around me, because it's so simple to other people, yet it's so difficult for me. Yet when it comes to the gospel, it's so simple to me, and yet to others it's so difficult. And we all have different ways of receiving information. It's the same with those around us. So if you're in the field working along someone else, they will maybe be communicated to differently than you did. They may want to receive something in a different way that you have. So for us as Christians, as we read this portion of scripture, instead of becoming fearful of our loved ones not being the ones that are with us when we go, that we can pray that God will give us the wisdom to speak to them in a way that they will understand. And that God will give us the understanding that it may not be you, it may be someone else that God puts in their path. But I think it's a reminder today that we can, yes, believe, yes, trust, and yes, understand, but know that that day will come. But we don't know when. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Where there is unrepentance, their judgment will come. And we have an awesome responsibility. But this is a good news story, because the gospel is not a selfish work. What I mean by that, it's not just about me and you, is it? It's not just about us being like eaglets going, feed me, feed me. It's about us saying, Lord, feed me so I can feed. Lord, give to me so I can give. Lord, give me opportunities so that I can share. Lord, give me wisdom so that I can discern. See, the gospel is not just for us, is it? It's for humanity. So we have an opportunity. But there are people who, when they look at us, they may not see the kingdom because they're expecting something different. I know that when we was first a church, and we had a guy, a man in our church, he's a lovely man, and he stood tall and he looked quite regal, and he looked like a leader, and he looked like a pastor, and he spoke like a pastor, but he wasn't. And every time a visitor come in, they would go to this man and they would talk to him and say, how long have you been the pastor of the church? He said, I'm not, he is. They was expecting something different. I'm not putting myself down, because what I'm saying is, it's the perception, isn't it? So when people look at us, they don't see that we're the herald. We're the ones that God's called to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're the ones that will unlock the mystery for other people. We're the ones that will sit with them when they are mourning. We're the ones that will work with them when they are tired. We're the ones that will reveal the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But sadly, there are people around us that won't recognize it. So what can we do? Glad you asked. We can realize that we don't speak the same language to the same people. God will give you those to talk to. God will present those that he wants you to walk with. The challenge for us is, will we? When God clearly brings someone, regardless to how difficult they are or not, are you going to love them? Are you going to share the word with them? Are you going to break bread with them? Are you going to drop them when they offend you? See, the challenge is for us to be kingdom, because the kingdom of God is in us, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. Let me read this portion of scripture to illustrate that. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He knew everything about the law. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, teacher, in other words, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. He recognized that there was kingdom life within this man. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. And there's people will look at you and they will say, you can't go through life with the grace that you've got. There's something different about you. But they don't automatically recognize it's God. Jesus replied, very truly, in other words, listen, take heed. I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You see, people won't see what you see. And sometimes we can become frustrated because we go, this is simple. Why can't you get this message? Because they're not born again. They will not see what you see. They will not see the kingdom that you see. They will not experience the spiritual things that you experience. Why? Because they're not born again. I hope you are. Because if you're not, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. I trust you are. How can someone be born a second time? And the story goes on where Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit to spirit. So what does that mean? You know what that means. But for those that are listening, there's a part inside of every human that's dead. It's dead in the sins and transgressions. But there's a moment in that person's life where they're given an opportunity to taste the kingdom, to experience the kingdom, to see the darkness within themselves, that they are sinful, that they've rejected this light of lights, this Lord of Lords, this God of heaven. And there's a moment where they want to be right with God. And that's the word repentance, to turn away from sin and turn to God in Christ Jesus. And there's a moment where it's evident, Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, fill me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, clothe me. And what happens? He does. And that's the moment we become born of his Spirit. Something that was dead becomes alive. And Jesus was trying to say this to a man of the law, and yet he didn't understand. And if we don't speak the right language to people, they won't understand, because they're expecting something different than you and me. But we can pray that God soften hearts. We can pray that God gives us a language that others will understand, that it will be translatable. In 1 Peter 23, it says this: "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. All of you came to where you are now because of the word of God. You heard the word of God. You read the word of God. You wanted to taste the word of God. And then the word came to live in you. In the beginning was the word. The word became flesh. The flesh became spirit and made his home in us. That's what we have, kingdom in us. So we've been speaking about the day of the Lord when he comes back to judge the earth. He comes back to judge the living and the dead. He comes back to bring revelation, restoration, but he also comes to bring wrath. And we don't need to fear that. But we don't need to be those that say, "I'm okay. Doesn't matter about them." It does, doesn't it? Because that's the Great Commission. The great leveler with this word is that whether you're rich or whether you're poor, let me read what it says in Revelation 6:15. "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free." In other words, those that have nothing and those that have everything. Those that have all the power and all the wealth, the multi-billionaires to the paupers. This is everyone. This is what we call equality. "They called to the mountains," the generals, everyone, slave or free, "hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains." They could see the day of the Lord. "They called to the mountains and the rocks." They didn't call to God. They didn't say, "Jesus, save me." They called to the mountains, "Hide me from what's to come. From the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. And who can withstand it?" That's a good question, isn't it? You can withstand it. We can withstand it. We don't need to call to the mountains to cover us. We're covered by the grace of God, aren't we? But this message isn't for you, it's for them. It isn't for us, it's for them. It's for us to understand that we're not what some people are expecting. They're expecting something different. But we are the answer to their question, because Christ lives within us. So this is a good news portion of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. That is good news for your loved ones, isn't it? Those that are in Christ, that is good news. Verse 17, after that we, that's us, who are still alive and left, will be caught up together with him, or with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So whenever I bring a message that is hopefully biblically based, hopefully grounded in the word, I want to bring a level message. Yes, there is a day of wrath coming. Yes, there is a day of salvation. There is a day where there is nothing broken, nothing missing. But the sadness for some people, for some Christians, in some churches, in some parts of the world is, if we're not careful, we will think, "I'm okay. I'm okay. I have my food. I have my bank balance. I have everything I need. And when I die, I'll go to be with the Lord." And that's true. But when we think about the virgins, the five who were foolish, they weren't ready for that day. When we think about the wise, they were serving. They were serving when the Lord came. They were giving when the Lord came. They were listening when the Lord came. They were ready for when the Lord came. My final scripture is in Romans 5, verse 7. It says this: very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, as me and you, in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if he died for us while we were sinners, he's going to die for our loved ones who don't know him yet, isn't he? While they're still sinners. So often we may wait for them to change before we can speak to them. Well, we can speak to them where they are, by the way we live, by the things we do, by the prayers we pray. My prayer for my family is that, yes, they will be saved. I pray that someone else will come along with a version of a language that they will understand. Because they're so familiar with me, they don't understand my language when it comes to spiritual things. And it may be the same for you, but someone else might have the right language that they will understand. There are times in church where I've laboured on a certain point. Let's say, hypothetically, I pray on giving for 6 months, and the tithes and the offerings go down. And then a visiting speaker comes along and he gives one 20-minute message and people are convicted and the offerings treble. What's the problem? Is it me? No, it's you. No, is it me? No. It wasn't the time. Someone spoke a language. Someone spoke the truth in a way that the congregation heard it. We need to learn to be able to do that. Ask God to give us a language that our loved ones will understand. Ask them to bring a translator along. Lord, how do I love this person into the kingdom? How do I give this person into the kingdom? How do I pray this person into the kingdom? Lord, bring alongside someone who can speak to my loved ones with a language that they will understand, but the truth, not the falsehood. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We've been justified through his blood. How much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him, Christ? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So when we read that portion of scripture in Luke 17, let's not be deceived by false teachers who say, here he is, there he is. Let's not be deceived by the prophecy on TV where they say, according to Revelation 6, according to this, according to that, and they block out something and it sounds really, really feasible. It sounds truthful. But when they say, so Christ is coming back on December the 4th, which is Andrew's birthday, then you can say, that's a lie. How can you say that? Because his word tells us that nobody knows the day or the hour. Amen. You see, something might sound like the truth, but it's not the truth. And Jesus was warning his disciples. The kingdom is in the midst. The kingdom is in you. The kingdom is in you. So as we look at this next portion of scripture and we think about the two, we want them both to be with the Lord, don't we? But sadly, that won't be the case because many people will choose to reject. So our challenge as we close is to know the word, understand the word, believe the word, speak the word, is to understand what God has called us to do, and we do what God's called us to do. God's given you a plan. And he has a purpose for your life. And it may be different to what he's called me to do. God's called you to stand in adversity, but he's given you the weapons of warfare. He's given you everything you need. God's given you a language that some people will understand. And there may be one person that you speak to, that suddenly will, the penny will drop, and they'll say, what do I need to do to be saved? And you'll say, believe, confess, receive. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you, Father God, that your word challenges us. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for your bride. And Father God, we thank you that in the meantime, you've called us to be your hands, your feet, your pockets, and your voice. Lord, reveal to us how to pray in a way that will bring salvation to those that are dying. Lord, encourage us that when we see the day of trouble, we won't fear, because we'll know when you're coming back, because we'll see it. Lord, bless us, we pray, that we may be a blessing to those around us. Encourage us, we pray, that we may be an encouragement. Open our eyes that we may see your word in the truth that it is. Open our ears that we may hear you. May we know that we are born of your Spirit, and the same power that raised you from the dead lives in us. So, Lord, all things are possible when you strengthen us. Amen. Amen.